This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
It's a good Friday. Happy Friday, everybody. April 18th, 2025. We're Grant and Danny, and you are listening to The Fan. Tony Pauline, NFL draft analyst, stopping by at 5. What are the Commanders going to do in the first round? And EJ Raddick of NHL Network joins us at 6 to preview the Caps and the Canadiens. Game 1 is on Monday. Speaking of the Capitals game on Monday night, we have tickets for our listeners. We're going to be giving them away all show long. At 20 minutes after the hour, we're going to give you the cue to call. And at that time, when prompted, the ninth caller is going to win Caps tickets every single hour. 220, 320, 420, 520 today, right here on Grant and Danny. Two tickets in the good seats. If you want them, you better be listening.
Don't call now. We'll tell you when, but when the time happens, get those little dialing fingers going and win yourself some tickets. We're giving 4 pair away today.
So it's not that awesome? Often, I will say, Danny, that I am very jealous of the tickets that we give away.
Yeah.
Because there are rules. We can't win the things that we give away for good reason. People at the station can't win them, right? There's all kinds of rules. This is one of those where I'm jealous that you guys are getting tickets in the good seats. Because I don't know if I'm going to that game. I'm going to have to maybe fork over some cash to get in the Capital One Arena and sit in the seat with the fans. Maybe I'm going to be at Nats Park on Wednesday working. Maybe I'm not. Nobody knows. But I know what you guys are going to be doing. Mm-hmm. You're going to be winning tickets on this show today. So make sure you're locked in for the next 4+ hours. Speaking of the Capitals next week, we told you yesterday it's just going to be a monster DC sports scene. Monday and Wednesday, Caps Canadians at home. Tuesday, Orioles in town to take on the Nationals at Nats Park. Thursday, night one of the NFL draft. Friday, day 2 of the NFL draft, with game 3 of Caps Canadians north of the border, with the Nationals welcoming Juan Soto back to D.C. as a Met for the first time. Give me a break. What a week, right? Monday and Wednesday, Danny, we're out and about at City Tap House in Penn Quarter.
City Tap House, Penn Quarter, my friend. We've been there before, and we liked it so much we're going back. When the Capitals play home games this postseason, that's where we're going to be before the game. I love that fact. That place is awesome. Just a couple blocks right there from the arena. Probably a couple hundred yards as the crow flies. But you got to take a left just there on I Street. So close. Food is awesome. Vibes, atmosphere are great. I cannot wait to go back there Monday and Wednesday.
How about this developing situation? So we're giving away the tickets all day long to game 1. If you don't win tickets today for game 1, we got a text from Christian saying that we'll actually have 2 tickets, a pair together, to give away on Monday live at our show in Penn Quarter at City Tap House. One last pair that somebody can win right before the game as they're pre-gaming, eating, drinking, being merry, 2 blocks away from the arena. So someone's night's getting made. You come out, you got to be there to win, but you can enter into a raffle for the final pair of tickets as a station.
That's pretty great.
That we're going to be giving away. So we are trying to hook you guys. You just got to let us help you go see your beloved Capitals.
Let us give you these tickets, please. Well, you just let us do it. You listen to the show. You come hang out with us. You win tickets. That's all we can do. That's all we can do. That's everything that we can do.
There's also a little birdie chirping in my ear.
What's that?
Little birdie's chirping.
Well, I don't know about this birdie.
Sounds like we got a Friday field trip.
Oh, I know that.
Going out to Chantilly to Pupitella, where my favorite pizza exists. So you and I, next week, we are moving. We are shaking. We are putting our willpower to the test because we're on our co-pair program.
Yeah, it's going to be something.
How about a sports bar on Monday, a sports bar on Wednesday? We're going to be at the MGM National Harbor at Tap Sports Bar for
sports
the
bar Thursday
NFL night. Draft party Thursday night. And then at my favorite pizza place, Pupitella in Chantilly on Friday. Let's go make some good decisions.
Yeah, that check-in's going to be something, isn't it?
Hey, Kurt.
What happened?
I had to sit down today, lost another 3 pounds.
I did not. I gained a little bit of weight this past week. Not good. Not as good a check-in for your pal.
Not always linear.
Yeah.
Right? Another bucket of water off the Titanic for your boy. I got work to do. Next week's going to be a little bit of what do we call that? It's like when you throw the red flag, you don't like the call.
Oh, it's difficult. It's
easy.
It's
easy?
Arduous. It's uphill. It's harder. Come on. What is it? What is it? Challenge.
Challenge.
Yeah.
It's going to be a challenge.
Yeah.
But bring it on. I love a good sports week. And next week certainly is that. All right, I want to start with the NFL draft. We are 6 days away from round one. The perception for Commanders fans seems to be that Washington's going to either trade back or just take an edge that falls into their lap. And when you hear everyone banty names about which defensive end do you want, it's just them grabbing at some of the best defensive ends in the country. Here's the problem, though. We've asked the question rhetorically a few times over, what if a lot of guys at that position go before Washington picks, and you're now choosing between the fifth and the sixth defensive end? If the three guys you had first-round grades on or four guys you really liked are gone, then what do you do? Matt Miller is an NFL draft analyst at ESPN, an expert on the draft, who's been talking to teams over the last few months, and he actually brought up the possibility that the Commanders at 29 might not get any of the edges that they really like because they might be gone before they pick.
I think what will be interesting to see is how wiped out the board is at defensive end, especially because you have so many teams in the middle of the first round with a clear-cut need at edge: Atlanta, Arizona, Cincinnati, and they pick back to back to back. You have the Chargers at 22. They could definitely take an edge rusher. The Ravens at 27, the Lions at 28. So there's like six teams between pick 15 and where Washington is at 29 that could take edge rushers. So it will be like, if you want to sit there as a fan on Thursday night, print out my rankings if you want and cross off those edge rushers, because we can all want an edge to be there at 29. There might not be, because that run could absolutely happen.
Danny, there is a legitimate possibility that Mike Green out of Marshall, who everybody likes, is long gone. That Donovan Ezeraku, who I like out of Boston College, who put up some huge numbers as a pass rusher, is not available. That maybe even... I think Mykel Williams will be gone. It's obvious that Abdul Carter is going to be gone. But let's say one of the other guys, like Shamar Stewart or, I don't know, Landon Jackson goes. If that's the case, they should not pick an edge just to do it.
You don't do it just to do it.
And they know this. I'm not talking Adam Peters, but I am readying maybe the fan base for them doing something that nobody sees coming. Maybe they take a safety because they feel like they're a Quan Martin injury away from being in trouble. Maybe they take a running back earlier than you think. Maybe it's Travion Henderson from Ohio State. Maybe they do go wide receiver because somebody fell at 29. Like, this idea that it's got to be an edge, which seems to be a prevailing thought, I certainly get the logic, but the board's got to work in your favor to get there.
It's 100% correct. So, I mean, where's the value? And what we do with drafts and teams, and we talk about mock drafts, and then after the draft happens, we give grades. You know what that's all based on? The perceived weaknesses and slights and needs of the team, right? So if Washington goes through this draft, for the sake of argument, and that a defensive end run happens, now just for the frame of reference, depends on who you look at. If it's Dane Brugler or some of the other guys from ESPN, there's different folks, but 15, 16, or 17 of the top 100 players listed in this year's draft are edge rushers, okay? So there is some depth here possible. But let's say that the first-round graded guys are all gone, even guys with a couple concerns, like a James Pierce or whatever. Everybody's gone. You don't just do it to hear yourself talk, A, to your point. But B, if that happens, it means that there's better value at another spot. Maybe the third-best corner hasn't come off the board yet. So that's a position maybe that would make sense. Or the third best wide receiver. Or maybe the best guard hasn't been taken yet because there's been a run on defensive ends, quarterbacks, more guys go in the first than another position. You're in a spot that's very dependent there at 29. You don't get to really dictate the board. You're in a spot where you got to go, we need to be ready to pivot. I mean, you've done this in your fantasy drafts. Obviously not the same. I'm not telling you it is on a 12-team snake. But you go, all right, my next pick, I think I'll probably be able to get, you know, wide receiver 4. And, by, you know, 7 different guys go take wide receiver 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Well, that probably means what? Tight end 2 is there or running back 5 is there. Whatever. I mean, you see the point. That, to me, is part of this dependent spot that they're in, and I think it's the challenge.
Yeah. I think when I look at the corner position, and based on what we've heard from the people that do this for a living, there's a very good chance that corner is where the value is at 29. If you think it's as big a need as I do, because I think it is number 2 for them behind defensive end pass rusher. And frankly, I should just call it edge because I need someone who could stop the run too. Mm-hmm. But the second biggest need they have, I think, is corner. And I'll never be upset taking a weapon. If they take Henderson at 29, there's going to be some people that think it was too early. I won't care. You just got a piece that's really, really going to help Jaden Daniels in this offense, which is already good, really good, get better. So I'm fine with that. But I think Barron from Texas is gone. I think Johnson from Michigan is gone. But maybe the rest are there for you. And that could be Maxwell Harrison from Kentucky, who was just at the Top Golf event, visiting them the last couple of days. Maybe they like one of those corners higher on their board. If the corner that's left as the 3rd or 4th in America, let's say, is their player 11 on their board, and the best edge that's left is player number 36 on their board, or let's just say, well, you should not take the edge. I mean, that goes without saying. That's pretty obvious. But I want to go back to Matt Miller, the ESPN NFL draft analyst we had on a couple of days ago, because we actually went through the names at defensive end, and he took a stab at what is the possibility. He gave us percentage chances of likeliness that the best defensive ends are still there when Washington picks. So here's what he said. Abdul Carter.
0.
All right, right. So we'll just start there. Mike Green Marshall.
Darn it.
Yeah. Mike Green of Marshall.
5%.
Oh, so there.
Damn it.
That's my guy. So he's
there's a lot
gone.
Of rain on this little plate right. I'm having here, man.
Donovan Ezeraku from Boston College.
Oh, 20%.
Oh, wow. So he's even. Okay. James Pierce.
I think so. 95%.
Oh, wow. Okay. Nick Scorton from Texas A&M.
We're doing percent chances there, right?
Yeah.
100%.
All right. Shamar Stewart.
20%.
Michael Williams.
I would say 20%.
All right. Landon Jackson.
100%.
So based on what he's hearing, he's going cross Mike Green off the list.
Yep.
If he's there, take him. Cross Donovan Ezeraku off your list, who's everybody's kind of mocking to Washington.
Mm-hmm.
If he's there, take him. And cross Shamar Stewart, who can't even get sacks in college, but is this unbelievable athlete and specimen, off your list. Meaning you're left with some dudes with some baggage here.
Yeah, so Pierce obviously has talent. So there's he doesn't seem like an Adam Peters and this Washington new brand of player. People look at the traffic stuff. That to me is secondary, honestly.
Well, explain what you mean by traffic stuff.
Sorry. He was pulled over and cited for, you know, driving on a suspended license and not having, you know, failure to produce insurance and a couple of things that, frankly, immature stuff that, like, that kids do and have done.
It's not assault.
Right.
You know, it's not mistreating a woman. Like, it's not the serious stuff.
Well, it's also, like, not drag racing. It's not doing what Jamin Davis did. You know what I mean? So, like, to me, it's you know, hey, it's... Let's get that stuff taken care of, but I don't see that as the red flags. What's emerged, and you don't again, you don't know. This is silly season. This is hoping you know, flush something down. Maybe he falls to the team that wants him. Who knows? But there have been work ethic concerns. There was some lateness at times, missing some offseason things that don't reflect well, whether he's grinding, playing, and play out. That's the negative report that's out there. Again, I'm not espousing it. I'm saying that's what's out there.
The thing that I think hurts him is he was better as a sophomore than he was as a junior. And that trajectory is not what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. So as a junior in 23, he had 10 sacks and 15 tackles for loss. And I think the thought was if he made another leap, he could go in the top 10 or 15. Instead, he had 2.5 fewer sacks and fewer TFLs and fewer impact plays in the same number of games. And because of that now, you kind of went in the wrong direction. But I could get down with James Pierce The idea, though, that he is a lock to be there, I think speaks to, at least according to Miller, the gap between him and Ezeraku and Green and some of the other guys that are going to go higher. Nick Skorton, he said, will definitely be there. I think that would be an overdraft at 29.
I do too.
To me, that's one of those where I go, that's not worth it necessarily. I know he's had 15 sacks the last 2 years. He's another guy. Had 10 sacks 2 years ago, down to 5 sacks this past year, played in more games, in more snaps, was a little bit less productive, but huge, 6'4", 280, like a massive guy. Has the length, I think, that action figure ability maybe to be a Montez Sweat type figure, and he went 26th. I just think there's probably someone who's going to be more impactful and a more sure thing sooner, who's really, really good at a position of need, available at 29 that you could take before Skorton.
I think so, too. Yeah, I mean, this is now, you're in the range here from this is me parroting experts, where you can kind of shuffle up and deal the guys that are ranked between anywhere from 20, 25, all the way to 50, where some people might love Maxwell Harrison, the kid from Kentucky, for example, the guy that ran the fastest 40 among the cornerbacks. Some people might love Landon Jackson, who's more of a solid stay-at-home defensive end who can get you some workman-like sacks, but for the most part, as an edge defender, is there to stop the run. The traits of a Nick Emenwori from South Carolina, the safety that looks like he's built in the lab. This is one of those where it's hard to get a great feel because either someone's going to value traits, a Shamar Stewart or Emenwori, or they're going to say, I want that workman-like production, see Ezeraku. This is, I think, a tougher draft to read. I mean, obviously, it's always going to be tough in the 20s and 30s as to what teams are thinking, but I think this one's especially tough this year, especially because of how close it basically, folks are saying, anywhere from 25 to 50 is in terms of year over year, how close these guys are together.
I'm also nervous because the perception, I think, looking from the outside in on this class is that these defensive ends are very much eye of the beholder. And with all of them, there's risk, which is normal in the draft. But I don't know that there's slam dunks outside of Carter. So you got to get it right. I mean, that's the job of Adam Peters and his staff. But it's not like at 29, you're choosing between a couple of guys that we're really sure about.
Mm-hmm.
To your point, whether it's because of the lack of production or maybe the lack of measurables by a hair or a little bit undersized or something off the field, like everybody's got some real blemishes. It's just going to be harder to hit a home run on the pick. Doesn't mean they can't do it, and this staff is really good, and hopefully they will. But while I'm married to the idea of an edge, I wanted to start today, for people that missed the Matt Miller interview, with just suggesting it may not fall in their favor.
Right.
When you're picking down the board like they are, you don't get to dictate. You're not picking 5 or 7 or 9.
Multiple runs are going to happen. The tackle run's going to happen. The edge run might already happen. Yeah.
You have to react to the board and to some extent what other teams are doing. And they're going to have to do that. But we can get more into the first round rumors, the NFL draft 6 days out next. But as we told you, at 20 minutes after the hour, every single hour on the show today, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 20 minutes after here on Grant and Danny, we are giving away a pair of tickets to see the Washington Capitals Game 1 Monday night at Capital One Arena of the playoffs against the Montreal Canadiens. So, right now, congratulations to caller number 9 at 800-636-1067 in honor of Ryan Leonard. You are going to win those two tickets to the Round 1 Game 1 game against Montreal. This is April 21st, coming up on Monday night, Capital One Arena. For tickets and more event information, go to thefandc.com. Good luck to you. This is The Fan.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast.
Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Audacy podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Strome, in and across, Ovechkin scores from the office, buries it past Nedeljkovic, 8:97, as Ovechkin and Crosby trade goals on this last day of the regular season. Brilliant moments from both.
That was John Walton on the call of Caps hockey last night. The boys just trying to get through 60 minutes pretty healthy, and they were able to. They didn't help Clay Stevenson very much, although I didn't know that was necessarily a priority. They didn't play anybody defensively, essentially. But they get through the game. Ovi scores a goal in the power play. It was a six snipe, and he's three away from 900 going into next season now. But more importantly, we got ourselves a winner. We're giving away tickets every single hour at 20 minutes after. Here on Grant and Danny all day long, game one against the Canadiens, and the first winner is David in Fredericksburg, who's going to be a Capital
David.
One arena.
Hey, guys.
Congratulations, yeah. Buddy. Who are you taking with you to the game?
My daughter, my oldest daughter, who's in the hockey as well. Can't wait, man, to go. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. I'm glad you won. Thank you for listening.
Good for you, bud.
And somebody else is going to win in a little under an hour, so we appreciate you. We'll see you at game one.
Awesome, guys. Let's go Caps.
Absolutely. Thank you. There's David in Fredericksburg.
Yeah.
On Grant and Danny. So our next winner at 3:20. Make sure you're listening at that time and ready to give us a call. Ovi's goal last night, ridiculous. Maybe not the best thing I saw last night, though. The best thing I saw was when Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin both presented Ovi with a present outside of the locker room after the game.
Yeah.
They gave him a Rolex. It was a beautiful watch.
It was gorgeous.
Yep. It was a great moment. It was very classy. And I got to say, my hatred for Sidney Crosby has softened a little bit over the last couple of years. I'll always dislike him and the Penguins. It's the ultimate rivalry. It's the best rivalry in DC sports at this point. But maybe it's because the Penguins don't win anymore. Maybe it's because the Caps got through past Pittsburgh and won a cup, and that took away some of my venom. Maybe it's because he's given out presents. Him and Ovi, the last few years, end of their career, have been way more just pleasant toward one another, it seems like.
It's like Magic and Bird, the same way it kind of happened. There was that reverence over those years. You know?
Ovi and Malkin were feuding for a while. They were best friends. I think they were roommates at one point. Then they hated each other's guts for a while. Supposedly, Ovi like knocked out Malkin's agent at a wedding or something. And they started hating each other. Now they like each other again. So, I don't know. My animus toward those two guys has kind of dissipated over the last few years. But last night was a great moment, I thought.
It was awesome. And I got the torch for both of us, so I got you. I'll pick up the slack where you're lacking. I've got more than the full allotment of units of hatred, so I'm happy to donate extra to your cause.
It's not like I'm rooting for them.
You're big fans of both.
No, I still can't stand them. I can't stand the Penguins. And like I get up for those games. They're my favorite games, other than last night, which was just a nothing burger. Someone texted me and was like, Ken Sabourin's like so angry about the effort. I was like, why? There's never been a less important hockey game ever. The only thing that matters is getting out of this game healthy. At one point, Brandon Duhaime limped off the ice and had to go back to the dressing room, and I'm breaking things in my basement. Is any doggy ready for game one? He came back and he was fine. But that was all that mattered to me last night. If they lost 9-0, other than the fact that a Penguins fan or two would have chirped me, it would not have mattered to me a little bit.
Yeah. You're more mature in that regard than I am. I can't stand it. That bothered the hell out of me last night. I know it meant nothing. Still does. I even if it meant nothing, would have been nice to have been 5-2 in the other direction. But listen, put that stuff aside for a second. The correct reverence that has happened for this record and for Ovechkin's achievement has been really nice. While the NHL media, I think by and large, has failed in their duties here.
Not this year, I wouldn't say.
I would.
Really?
Yeah, Darren Pang a month ago is calling him a one-trick pony.
I mean, a couple of guys have made dumb comments.
Right.
But and the NHL media coverage in general they've made him out to be the titan of the industry.
The NHL itself has done a nice job, but the people that can't help themselves, the Canadian-centric media, have done nothing but take shots at it, knock it, and that's only quieted down like over the last couple of weeks. So I think they've tripped over and embarrassed themselves. What's nice is that the players get it. The players fully understand and comprehend the absurdity of all of this. They get that it's harder now than it's ever been. Forget about a couple 3-on-3 overtimes here and there, right? Forget about the handful of empty nets more than maybe somebody had or didn't have, based on analytics and people doing things now in a smarter way than they did in the 1980s, where half the guys didn't wear helmets. But the players have understood this and given Ovi his just desserts, including his biggest rivals, quite frankly, when you talk about Crosby and Malkin together. I thought that was a really nice moment. And you know my thing, I like my villains to stay villainous. So that, you know, I begrudgingly have to admit that was awesome, but that's exactly what it was. It was awesome.
Yeah, I just want him to get his roses. So I don't really care who gives him what or who's a villain and who isn't. Every time Islanders fans, who I don't like, give him a standing ovation, or last night, mm-hmm. Pittsburgh, they're chanting Ovi's name.
Really cool.
I think that was probably Caps fans largely, because there was a lot of red. Because imagine people were buying like a month ago tickets to that game.
Because you thought maybe, yeah.
Yeah, you thought he wasn't going to have it yet, and then he went on his crazy heater and he got it several games earlier. But I would think there was a ton of people that were Caps fans in the stands, and you saw it, some of the aerial shots in the arena last night. But I'm sure there were also Penguins fans that were giving him his flowers and standing up. And you know, he's a classy guy that about a month ago dragged the Caps back on the ice so that they could celebrate, speaking of flowers, Marc-Andre Fleury, and that they could, you know, properly say, we appreciate your career as the team captain. And you've seen other team captains on other teams do similar things now for Alex Ovechkin. Even the hockey fraternity does this kind of thing in general. Matt Martin, who I've never liked, he is this third-line guy over the years, bottom six player for the Islanders. He's big, he's physical. He flies around and hits people at times, toes the line, and is a fighter. You know, he's just the kind of guy that if he's on a rival team, you're going to hate his guts.
Mm-hmm.
And he checks that box for me. But he's had a long, long career with the Islanders, and he's playing what is likely his final game on Long Island a couple of days ago when the Caps were there. And they did the receiving line for him. He's not breaking what Gretzky's record, but that's just a hockey thing.
Yep.
You know, it's stick taps. It's we appreciate you. For those 60 minutes, there's no helping each other up like football. There's no getting jerseys signed, you know, after I tackle you. Hey, let me meet me at midfield. But after the game, these guys really do a nice job, I think, honoring and celebrating each other.
Yeah.
And I love that about hockey.
Yeah, it's part of the built-in culture of appreciation for it, because they all get the grind. I mean, any game where you can only do it for 90 seconds maximum and then you have to be subbed out tells you how hard it is, and they get it. You know what I mean? Like, you get a couple trips up and down the ice, and then you physically can't do it anymore. So then you got to go sit down and get a breather. Like, doing that for 20 years or 15 years or playing 1,000 games with all the bumps and bruises and pucks off shins and teeth missing and, you know, everything under the sun, these guys have the correct appreciation for it.
NHL Network's EJ Raddick at 6 o'clock. Your next chance to win Caps tickets for Game 1 at 3:20 here on The Fan. Let's do this. I want to get back into the NFL draft because 6 days, 5 hours, 25 minutes from now, round one of the NFL draft gets going. We talked about Washington and the edge position at pick number 29. The top of the board, which for the first time in a long time, Danny, has nothing to do with the Commanders.
Not our problem.
Pretty fascinating after the first three or four picks. I think the first three picks in some order are going to be Cam Ward, Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter. As much as I think the Giants have kicked the tires on, done all their due diligence on, tried to figure out if they want and could go Shedeur Sanders, I don't see it right now. They have too many other needs. They're not a quarterback away. They're probably blowing out their GM and their head coach. And for all of those reasons, go get yourself a great defensive player. So let's say the Browns go Travis Hunter, which I think is absolutely in play.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Giants just have to take Abdul Carter, who maybe is the best player in the country.
Right.
Probably could go 1-1 in some years, honestly. Maybe last year he would have. And maybe
not with Caleb Williams, but I know your point, yeah.
Maybe not last year, but 2 years ago. I'm thinking of like a weak quarterback class.
Right.
In a year where you don't have a slam dunk QB, he goes 1-1. But you're in a division with Jalen Hurts and Jaden Daniels now. So you got to prepare for chasing QBs around. I think they do that. But the two burning questions about the early first round to me are, where does Shedeur Sanders go? And what happens with Ashton Jeanty, the running back? Because a lot of people are mocking him to the Raiders at 6. It seems like it makes a lot of sense. But if he doesn't go 6, how far could he slide? Because that affects then Amarion Hampton from North Carolina. That affects Trevion Henderson from Ohio State. So those two questions to me are the most fun about the first half of the first round.
I'm with you. And those we do this every year, but kind of that the draft starts at blank. Right? Because last year it was going to be pretty chalky. It was going to be quarterback 1, 2, 3. That's what we thought. Okay, so now the draft starts at 4. Where does the first big decision get made? Is it receiver? Is it tackle? Is it this guy? That guy? So for me now, this year, the draft starts at 2. With the Cleveland Browns, I think it's Travis Hunter, but I wouldn't bet any amount of money on that.
But don't you think it's either Hunter or Carter? Because that waters down the intrigue a little bit. I would be shocked if it's not one of those two guys.
I think it's one of those two guys as well. So, but still, there's some variance there because there's variable there. Then the Giants at 3 hold a lot of cards. Let's say for the sake of argument, the Giants have their hearts on Abdul Carter, and that's who Cleveland takes. Do they just pivot and go Travis Hunter? I certainly would. Or are they still in the Sanders market, kind of to your point?
Travis Hunter in that media market, by the way? Come on.
Yeah.
Superstar.
It would fit.
Even if teams don't love him as much as we would imagine them to as a dual threat, like let's say that in the top 5, you're probably drafting him as a receiver, not a corner. And let's say you just don't think he's a guy that can play both sides of the ball, like receiver every down, and then corner 60% of the time or something. Even if it's just a handful of snaps a game, so be it. I mean, he's a lot less of a prospect if he just does one. It's like Shohei Ohtani is only a hitter, where he's the MVP, or only a pitcher, where he's top 10 in Cy Young balloting. The beauty of Shohei is he does both. But as one, he's still really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Travis Hunter, if he was only a receiver, is going second overall, or if he was only a corner. So maybe you're overdrafting him a bit if he doesn't end up doing both. But he's still, I think, a top 10 player at either position.
Agreed.
Yeah, which is wild to think about.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's right on. I mean, to me, the point of him is both. Otherwise, I'm not doing it at 2. If I don't think he's going to do that for me long term, I'm not taking him at 2. And that doesn't mean he's not incredibly talented or gifted or among one of the coolest prospects we've seen in some time. But if I'm an evaluator going, I don't think he's going to play both ways for me, then it's nowhere near as exciting, to be frank with you, right? I'm solving one of my precious roster spots on both sides of the football with somebody. That's a rare commodity. That, you know what I mean? Like, that's the rarest of rare. So, yeah, but I'm with you. Back to the two big questions. Where does Sanders end up? Is this perceived free fall? Is it real or is it disinformation in the weeks of disinformation? Who benefits if he falls down? Well, a team that's not picking 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, etc. Same thing with Jeanty. So I don't think Ashton Jeanty gets out of the top 10. If the Raiders don't do it at 6, I could see the Bears doing it.
Ben Johnson pouncing on him. Yeah. I absolutely could see that.
It would make sense to me. In terms of Sanders, I also don't think he gets out of the top 10. Not because I think he's a bona fide superstar top 10 prospect. I think there's enough teams that are needy. See New Orleans at 9. I don't know that he would get past there. I'm beating this drum. I think Pittsburgh trades up to get him. I think Pittsburgh moves into the top 10 to get him because they know he won't be around at 21.
If Pittsburgh does it, I can't wait to sing your praises. I don't see that happening. I think he could be their pick at 21. In fact, right now, because I think he'll be gone, I could even see them taking Jackson Dart.
Talking about Pittsburgh, you mean?
Yeah. Way overdrafting him. But they want a quarterback, and if they just stick and pick, that would be the next guy off the board. I think only 2 go in the first round. Cam Ward out of Miami, and the aforementioned Shedeur Sanders out of Colorado. But I guess my point is I would not be shocked if Pittsburgh took Dart at 21 because they need a QB that badly, and the Aaron Rodgers thing is just seemingly going sideways after he basically told Pat McAfee yesterday, yeah, I got other things I care about. Football's got to wait. But also, I'm not ready to retire. So if you're the Steelers, what does that mean for me? What am I supposed to do? It's like being in a relationship where, do you want to get engaged? You don't want to get engaged? What am I supposed to do? Well, you keep telling me you got to figure things out on your own. But the Saints are interesting from a quarterback standpoint because of what's going on with Derek Carr.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys haven't been tracking this, Carr was pretty much only in New Orleans, according to the people that are super plugged in there, because of Dennis Allen, who he played with the Raiders. Okay, Dennis Allen, Derek Carr guy. Dennis Allen, fired, gone, no longer there. Saints people that are left, not as big a Derek Carr support group. Carr hasn't really wanted to be there this offseason, and he's made that known. Now, he's got this mystery injury, this shoulder thing that's getting worse, where he's saying he's not going to play this year or can't play. They're digging in on the shoulder to see what's going on, right? It all came out a couple weeks before the draft. To me, that is a very big flag, and it's not green. I mean, that tells you that there's some acrimony there. So if you're at 9 and Shedeur Sanders is there in New Orleans, I don't know why you wouldn't do that, especially when Deion's given the blessing of wanting him in New Orleans. He's talked about what colors he would like him to wear, he'd look good in, and he referenced the Saints colors, basically. I think that could actually be an okay fit back into the top 10.
Yeah, I mean, this is a... He's a guy that I think requires a little bit of time and patience, and that's what New Orleans should be doing right now. Yeah, a little bit.
I think any quarterback in this class probably does.
Fair enough, yeah. But I think that's they're a great candidate because they need to be in the middle of a teardown. Like, New Orleans, it's a terrible cap situation. They got old, they got bloated, they got injured. They're in a bad place, and they're not winning this year. So if you're willing to be patient with that and, you know, use this to kickstart a new core, I'm all in favor of it. But if they want to try to, I don't know, delay that and limp along and say, well, the NFC South stinks, let's win 8 games and maybe win that dumb division, maybe they don't do that, but to me that would be a good fit.
He's Danny, I'm Grant, this is The Fan. What's your number one question about the top of the draft board that's most intriguing to you? 800-636-1067, if you want to hop in on that. Plus, I've heard people's vision for the RFK site could be similar to a neighborhood in town right now, and I want to talk about how likely it is that they could pull that off. Next on Grant and Danny. Night in Colorado against the Rockies. They'll try again tomorrow, although there's also snow in the forecast tomorrow, so we'll see if they can get a game in.
Triple header Sunday? Question mark?
We don't do triple headers, but they'll try to figure something out. Maybe they'll have to play 2, because they don't have a game on Monday, although on a getaway day, I would doubt it. That's the problem, though. You don't go to the West Coast very often, and you're not going back to Coors.
That's right.
So you got to find a time when you're on the West Coast, when you're off and they're off. Like, making that up is really, really difficult.
Yeah, they're going to try to do a double dip Sunday, probably. Or not even probably, that's what they're doing. But I'm betting they play Monday, which stinks, but I think that's that.
Both teams are off?
Oh, I don't know about Colorado, actually.
I think they are. You could do a really early game there, like noon local.
Mm-hmm.
Get them on the bird and get them back here because they play Tuesday against the Orioles.
Mm-hmm.
You'd like to not have to fly cross country, but there might not be any way around it. So maybe if you played 2 Sunday and then 1 Monday. Or if you get 2 of the 3 in, now you only have to make up 1.
Yeah, Colorado's off there traveling too, so that's probably what they'll do.
But snow and baseball doesn't go together very well. It's like donuts and dieting, man. Rain and NASCAR. Like, you can't have them at the same time. So the Nats will not be playing tonight. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. I keep hearing as people are bringing up the RFK site. We had the big report this week. $3 billion deal is close to coming to fruition between the team and the city. The mayor's working with Josh Harris. We saw the numbers reported, and I'm still stunned by them, and I'll take the under on these, but that the owner, Harris, would put forth $2.5 billion of a little over $3 billion to build the stadium. I keep hearing that people want it to look something like where we're sitting right now, the Navy Yard, where you've got all these restaurants and all these bars, and you can go eat and drink before you go to Nats Park, and you know, I can go sit over at Walters and have wings and then get over to First Pitch and enjoy Nats baseball. I just don't know how realistic that vision is from a size standpoint. Now, Navy Yard is not as big as you think. I looked it up. I think it's listed at like 60 to 80 acres or something like that.
Uh-huh.
So it's dropped into a pretty small footprint. So there might be close to that that you could carve out for the restaurants and the bars.
But there's so much green space that has to stay green space.
That's the thing. The green space doesn't go away. And you got to add your hotels. Obviously, they have those in Navy Yard with the restaurants and the bars. You got to have some parking. It's going to be very, very limited in terms of parking lots. So tailgating is going to be next to zero. But if you have enough bars and restaurants, can that supplant tailgating for you?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on who you are. Some people are going
to have to.
Some people are going to say no, and others will, you know, will make shift and kind of do what you have to. But to me, it's the waterfront part of it that is so similar. The like my buddies who run the Salt Line over there, just south of the ballpark, for example, set up camp there before anything else was around. Now it's now there's a few establishments down that way on that side, and you know there's a couple residences and the like. But right there on the Anacostia River, gorgeous. Like that setting is super possible. The river runs right past it. I mean, it's 500 yards from the edge of RFK Stadium to where it is kind of that little mini lake with a sort of an island in the middle. You've got all sorts of possibilities there. I'm not smart enough to know what you should do and how. I don't know how much should
be. Can you build on that right there? Like, is any of that swamp land or whatever the protected stuff is?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how green it is. I don't know if it's eligible. I don't know if that's one of those things.
You know,
for example,
certain areas in D.C. where for whatever reason, like you actually can't build on the surface.
Put a structure in there at your own risk. It's going to sink a foot a year. I don't know. I think there's all sorts of possibilities. So everything from like a water taxi where you could catch it by Nats Park and get shuttled up there would take 20 minutes to
see that stuff to me. And I'm not saying no, but like that's. Fantasy football. Nobody's doing that. You know what I mean?
Like, but I think you can't think outside of yourself. You wouldn't do that, but I think a lot of people would. Like, I don't think that's nuts.
As a regular way to go to a football game?
Totally.
I don't know, man.
I mean, I'm not talking about 50,000 people, but you don't think a few thousand would do that? The same way a few thousand would ride the Metro, a few thousand would park in the neighborhood?
Come down here and eat at Walters and then board a boat.
Who knows?
And then go around the river to this. I don't think so. I mean,
you wouldn't. I don't know that I would either, but I'm saying there are options is my point. You could do one of those, a barge kind of a situation as a restaurant or as like a place that's there on the water that's gorgeous. There's a million things that you could do.
People could jet ski there. Like you could just get a bunch of jet skis you could rent. You could jet ski and there could be a moat and we could jet ski around the moat.
Probably couldn't do that.
Kind of right into the locker room maybe.
I don't think you would do that. Okay. But I mean, again, different things are possible. The point is, it's the waterfront part of it that's got people so intrigued and kind of salivating with the possibilities because that's similar to what the Navy Yard is, right? I mean, you look at the wharf, you look at the Navy Yard, that's kind of the unique boundary right there just east of the stadium where you could actually build something kind of cool that's not just the Panera or the Hilton.
What about a ferry where we're on the Woodrow Wilson Bridge and then we just kind of drive onto the ferry and then that takes us there? Do we like that idea?
No.
Okay.
I don't. Do you have any follow up on that or no?
No, I didn't know you were so upset about it. I thought we were having fun.
No,
we're not having fun.
I don't get what you're doing. Okay. But to me, that what's hard is the amount of green space.
Yeah.
That can't change. That I think people are kind of going, oh, you built this used to be a salt pile, a McDonald's, and a car wash. Right. Where we are right now, right? There was nothing else. Now it's everything's on top of each other. Used to be able to drive through every alleyway. Now it's like you can't because there's an Amazon truck that's fighting a mail truck at some drop-off point for $7,000 a month condos, right? So I don't know all the different possibilities or what would make sense, but it's a lot of picking and choosing there.
I wonder just how many people are going to need to get theirs out of all the deals that get swung over there.
A lot of people.
How many people get their hands in and go, we'll do it, but I need my whatever your thing is.
Totally.
Because the more people that are involved getting their thing with that amount of space, I think the more complicated it gets really quickly. But the waterfront's going to have to be pertinent. And, you know, like the Navy Yard, to your point, I don't go over there very often because it's on the other side of the ballpark. But it's a massive draw on a game day, on a nice weekend, spring afternoon. We've done some events over that way, and people enjoy it. Grant and Danny on the Fan. We do have a double play coming up at 3:45. Remember, your next chance to win tickets to Game 1 of the Capitals and the Canadiens is at 3:20 today. You got to be listening at the end of our next segment for the cue to call if you want tickets to Game 1 of the Caps at Capital One Arena. Next, Bet Online assigned playoff odds to every single team. What percentage chance did they give the Commanders to making the NFL playoffs in 2025? We'll get into that on The Fan.